Go.
Welcome to the Social Expedition. Produced by LunaWeb, we're Dave, Elizabeth, and Matthew. With session number 4, October 28, 2009. And here joining us today, we have Elizabeth Lamons from Memphis Connect / the Leadership Academy. What else? What other things are you associated with?
You just completely put me on the spot.
I'm sorry. I had this other channel going in my right ear. So, hey, guess who, you know, look around here. We have a guest with us today. We're introduced at the right time. Elizabeth Lamons from Memphis Connect, who's here to talk to us about some great things going on over there, and then also some super cool blog house-a-rama type deals coming up with Bar Camp Memphis. So, hey, what's going on, guys?
What is going on? We're heavy on the Elizabeths this week.
We are.
As things should be. Absolutely.
Well, that's good. And we don't have anybody here whose name starts with a J. Which is good, which is not, I don't know about good.
That's
but
unusual here at LunaWeb. That's very unusual.
It is going against LunaWeb standards.
Yeah.
Not having more than one J in the room.
Well, hey, maybe that's a mystery that will go unsolved, or maybe we can Google it and find out what's happening there. Speaking of which,
Segway.
They've been up to just a whole lot of interesting things there at Google lately. You know, there was the whole Wave thing going on, mm-hmm. Then there was a side wiki that we talked about, and then this week they've launched this thing. Well, it's in the experimental lab, so it's only kind of launched. You're going to have to dig for it. But this thing called Social Search. And have you guys seen that?
I have. I Googled you, Dave, and I found your profile.
Okay, so you went ahead and to get on the Google search, you got to go through jump through a couple of hoops to get there. One is you have to have a Google account. The second thing is you need to have a Google profile, which if you don't have one, you go to google.com/profiles. The third thing is you want to sign up for this experimental thing. I mean, I don't know. I didn't read the disclaimer. Did you? I kind of scrolled to the bottom. I accepted it, and boom, I was in.
I just know I Googled Dave Barger, and there you were.
Okay. All right. But so you do the experimental thing, and then when you go to Google and run a regular search, not only do you get the regular search results that Google would normally give you, at the bottom of the page, they show you what your friends or your network connections have had to say about that particular topic, which is very significant. You know, some people would much rather hear what their friends have had to say about something rather than just, you know, reams and reams of web pages. And the way that Google knows who your friends are is because on the Google profiles, when you set that up, you have to say, okay, I'm over here on Twitter, and here's my Twitter handle. And it just goes and looks at your friends. And that's how it associates, that's how it knows who your friends are. So you don't have to get in there and list out all your buddies.
So what makes this different from what Microsoft's Bing search engine launched last week when they started searching through like the Twitter timeline and Facebook status updates?
This right now, it is showing you only your friends. So it's not showing...
Instead of like the general public. It's
so it's just not just a trending topic kind of thing. It's what your friends think about X subject.
Exactly. Yeah, so let's say, you know, you're interested in going to see Where the Wild Things Are. So you can search for Where the Wild Things Are. And you can see only the things that your friends have had to say about it. Because, you know, you can't watch all of your friends' tweets anymore. You can't keep up with. So you're going to miss some things that your friends have to say or recommendations or...
Not me, anyway. I'm super popular.
Well, yes. In fact, can't we also get your tweets in a printed version delivered to our doorstep daily?
You know, if you ask nicely, yeah, I'll be glad to provide that service. But yeah, that's totally not practical. Any of that, like following everybody and keeping up with everything they say, let alone then printing up each individual tweet, licking a stamp, stamping it on an envelope and sending it out.
Yeah.
Not gonna work. I feel like with this, for me, the utility that I see in it is less that I miss people's tweets in a given time, and more that it's just another way that we're enhancing the conversation. Like, it's just another aspect of your online life that already exists, which would be Googling stuff, that now we're throwing the conversation into as well, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just bringing that social aspect into one more way that we are already so plugged in to our online lives. And I think that's, to me, that's the most interesting thing about the whole development.
I think it lets us get a lot more useful information out of that also. For example, we did a little screencast of this thing, and one of the examples that we used was Sushi Memphis. And guess who came up? Memphis Connect. Right?
We had great debate on the best place to get sushi, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
People love to talk about food.
And so here we are with Elizabeth Lamons joining us here on the stage left microphone from Memphis Connect. And so we're just kind of rolling you into this conversation here. So you guys, so this works in
it's
well.
Very smooth.
you had a great bunch of submissions on the blog Memphis Connect about where's the best sushi in town, right?
We did. It started with somebody who went out and had sushi and was reminded that that's one of their favorite restaurants in the city, so they thought they would go out and share it, and that prompted a big discussion. What I thought was really cool about it was I actually learned about a couple of new sushi places I didn't know about, but then also in the whole spirit of us wanting to recognize the whole community, we had recommendations everywhere from, you know, Main Street all the way out to Germantown. So you actually did hit a lot of different spots. And along the way, people enriched the dialogue because you would hear, oh, you should go here. Did you know that this is the, you know, sushi? This person used to be at, you know, restaurant X, and now they're here. Oh, did you know that that's a Project Greenfort certified restaurant? So it actually became a pretty interesting dialogue.
Excellent. Nice. And so how long ago was that? Ish, roughly.
Ish. It would be a few months now.
A few months.
Yes.
And welcome to the social expedition, by the way.
Oh, thank you. and I'm glad that I tried to completely avoid saying sushi chef. So okay. I'm glad I wasted my brain power on that.
Okay, so it was a few months ago, and this is the thing. You may miss a conversation or a blast of tweets about, you know, where's the best Italian restaurant, sushi, whatever. But if you can now go back and have a search engine that goes and searches your friends, what your friends have had to say, your connections, whether you were there or not. So this is a few months ago. When you search for Sushi Memphis, you wind up. It takes you to a link to some tweets about it, as well as to the Memphis Connect blog. And so you don't have to be there. So it's a great resource. Because if you think about it, there's a lot of questions that are going to be asked over a period of time. Like, you know, where's the best, well, you know, you can't ask that question all the time. It's like, oh, come on, Dave, get with the program. We asked that question on Twitter and on Memphis Connect, you know, a couple of months ago. Where were you? You know, well, I was out of town or whatever. I was offline. I missed the whole thing. So it's like this brain trust of all this information that people have been sharing, some of which doesn't get dated really quick, such as, you know, where's a great place to have some sushi?
Right, that's relevant, no matter what.
So I think that's excellent, you know, that this is great functionality that we've got now with Google doing this. And there's obviously more to come, you know, with that.
Sure. Well, and we also are aware that this is a culture who prefers user reviews to expert testimonials or expert reviews. So I think that's great, because if I am wanting to check out a sushi place, for example, I mean, it's great if it's been written up in a paper somewhere, but I'd really rather know what the average ordinary folks out there, people like me, are saying instead. I'm going to take their word, you know, greater value. Right. So
yeah, that's part
kind
of
the whole concept.
Fuel of what's going on with social media right now, the whole word of mouth thing. And one of my favorite definitions about what social media is, and that's like people getting information from each other instead of the traditional institution, because they keep letting us down. They keep lying to us. So hey, you know, hopefully
sometimes
people like
me,
you know,
an agenda. Go figure.
So it's a little biased, but hopefully our friends will shoot it straight for us. Kind of let's get right into the social Memphis segment. And you got a few things here that tie into all kinds of interesting things going on in Memphis. So what's up?
Basically, just some different ways that Memphians are using social media right now that's been interesting. You know, we just got done with our mayoral race, and A.C. Wharton was actually sworn in this week as the new mayor of Memphis. But he announced his transition team actually through social media, through Facebook and Twitter. And we really did see a lot of activity on social media in this entire campaign. You know, we had a lot of candidates tweeting. We talked about it here on the Social Expedition podcast previously. So this is just one more example of how, you know, politics is so heavily using social media, and really exciting to see that Memphis politics and Memphis government are accessing those avenues to talk with citizens. And kind of on the same beat a little bit, there was a story in the Commercial Appeal a couple days ago about police using social media to get tips, actually, from the public. And, you know, not always the happiest stories that go along with those. You know, bad things are happening, unfortunately, in those cases, but it's good to know that the police are using social media to, you know, be more active as law enforcement. And that's just, I thought that was an interesting development and a great use. I mean, Twitter is a great way to crowdsource, and what better use of that than helping people and, you know, solving crimes and that kind of stuff. So that was pretty cool.
You know, on that, I think, you know, I want to take a moment to shout out to Daryl Cobbins and Douglas Scarborough, who were selected, and I found out about them on Facebook. As far as being a part of that transition team. So I was able to, you know, reach out to these guys both on Facebook as well as, well, with Daryl, I actually sent him a text. So that is great. These, you know, these folks, young folks, being part of putting together this whole One Memphis concept. So.
Absolutely. You know, and, of course, our Tweeter of the Week we do every week.
Yeah.
This week we are highlighting the Memphis Chamber. They, you know, for no other reason just than that they are doing some great stuff, really reaching out to Memphis businesses and residents and really just making good use of their Twitter account, promoting the city, and they participated in our last Feedback Friday, which we think is pretty awesome. We've talked about that a lot here, and tweeted and really wanted people to tweet back and let them know what they want to see out of their chamber. So that's the kind of attitude that's really going to move us forward. Basically, instead of doing the whole Follow Friday thing where we just sort of promote each other for, you know, whatever reason, good or bad, we decided to reclaim that and encourage people to offer feedback to one another on how they can be better users of social media. So whether, you know, we encourage people, first of all, to post a tweet and let everyone know that you want some feedback, and then also to go out and give that feedback yourself to other tweeters. And we're getting a little traction now. It's about 2 weeks old, and we're seeing some good participation on it. And
what's your hashtag for that?
It's Feedback Friday or FF. So we are reclaiming that FF boldly and with abandon.
What's Memphis Connect? What's going on there? What's the connection there with the Leadership Academy? And just tell us a little bit more about what's happening down there.
Oh, I would love to talk about Memphis Connect. You happen to have touched on one of my favorite topics. Memphis Connect is, you know, it was developed and launched through the Leadership Academy. Although it really is its own animal, it really is, you know, its own brand. What we were hearing over and over, we have a very engaged cohort that wants to, you know, really, they're passionate about Memphis. They want Memphis to be better. They want to be involved in pushing the city forward. And they want to speak up on behalf of Memphis. And so, you know, what do you respond when Forbes called you a miserable city? But along the way, as these, you know, folks were getting involved, they would say, but, you know, it would be really great if there was a place where we could collectively share what's right about the city instead of just finding a better way to respond to, you know, criticisms. Mm. Where do we actually proactively share what's good? And, of course, along with that, how do we, you know, is it easily accessible not only to us but also easily accessible to share? So an online space seemed to be the obvious answer. So it's functionally, it really is a community blog. We like to say that we're a little bit more than that. but that's the idea. We have multiple contributors from throughout the greater Memphis area. And back to what I had mentioned earlier, the discussion earlier about, you know, we really want to hear what our friends think, or we want to hear what people think. It's been very important that we create profiles for people, for diverse Memphians who represent different backgrounds, different professions, different ages, different interests, family status, part of town, because we all know that there are as many versions of Memphis as there are Memphians. And what we're really trying to highlight is the diversity and the vibrancy that's out there. So, you know, we're giving folks a microphone and letting them say where they're hanging out on Saturday, where they take their kids, where the best place is to get sushi, you know, what they thought of Memphis Madness, you know, whatever it might be. And so we've just had a really good response so far from people who want to be a part of this. And it started with largely Academy alumni and then some folks with our community partners and economic development partners. But it really has grown because this is the sort of movement everybody wants to be a part of. Everybody, you know, they love the idea that they can kind of come together and be part of this team that is really highlighting everything about Memphis.
Great, great. And when did that site launch, Memphis Connect?
The end of March.
Wow.
And I haven't checked completely recently, but in just over 6 months, we had been visited by over 1,200 cities around the world. So
wow.
We nice. Know that people in Memphis are going out there to debate the best place for sushi, for example, or to find out about a lot of great things that are going on, you know, over the weekend, or a way to get involved in Riverfront Development Corporation input meetings or what have you. But we also know that people around the world, this is one version that they're getting of Memphis. And in fact, to that point, one thing that excites me is we've had major organizations come forward and say, we want to use this as a recruiting tool. In fact, Methodist has actually put this on their website where they're going out and recruiting and putting links and information about Memphis because they've said this is what prospects want to see. People like them, you know, the real Memphis as told by real Memphians, people that they can relate to. So, I mean, that's very exciting to me as well. That,
That's such a great cyclical thing. I was just going to say, I mean, to do something like that, which ends up bringing more people into the city and, you know, creating jobs. I mean, that's just a great effect.
We very much hope that that's going to happen. We very much hope that this means Memphis will be on more and more people's short list when deciding a city of choice. And for some people who might not end up picking Memphis, they've still gotten this great information and they've gotten to, in a sense, get to know some real Memphians. And it still might change what they say the next time they hear Memphis brought up in a conversation.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, gosh, there's a lot of contributors here. What are some of the bigger challenges that you've had trying to, you know, do this currently? You know,
I think the biggest challenge really is the sort of folks that you want to contribute are the people who are very engaged within the community and very passionate about the community. But this is essentially a labor of love for everybody. I mean, there is somewhat of a benefit. I mean, these are the people who do want these things to be heard, and they do get a certain amount of recognition as being sort of, you know, key opinion leaders. Mm-hmm. But in a sense, you are asking them to volunteer their time towards this effort, and that to me is the part that's difficult. You have to manage all these different people with their different needs, their own different interests, their own different schedules, their own questions. I mean, that part is interesting. And one of the challenges that I hope to address very soon, actually, is making everybody feel as though they're part of a team. They may be an individual contributor to a site, but they are part of the Memphis Connect team. So we actually just ordered T-shirts that say "I am Memphis" on the front, and then they have the branded Memphis Connect on the back.
Great.
We're about to do some more promotional materials. We're kind of using that as an excuse to get everybody together and really celebrate together that as a team, these stories have been seen around the world. And we're kind of hoping that that's sort of a win-win all the way around.
Outstanding.
You know, wear your T-shirt with pride.
And so, this is available. You can find this at memphisconnect.com. But where else are you at?
Our biggest presence would be on Twitter. Or is that what you're asking? You looked at
the
strange.
Okay. Yeah.
Trying to think. I don't know if we are anywhere else. That would be our biggest other presence because I know that there are people who use Twitter or there are people who don't use Twitter who might come to a website. I mean, I understand that. But a lot of the folks that are out there, I mean, these, you know, whether current Memphians or potential future Memphians or former Memphians, these are the sorts of people that we want to see this content. But they're also the kinds of people who can help direct the content or contribute the content. I mean, I just can't stress enough that this is about, you know, as told by Memphians, this is all about community voices. So we're always out there trying to find somebody else who might have a story to tell or who might be able to connect us somewhere. So Twitter has been a great way to not only help direct people to our site, we do have our post automatically tweet. You know, it's on Twitter feed to go there. Another thing we're doing on Twitter is really just helping to spread the word. So we do a lot of retweeting because we just think whether it's a grant to MLGW or it's something going on at Emerge Memphis or if it's a roller derby event,
yeah.
I mean, this is all stuff that we want to help spread the word about. Another thing we're doing via Twitter is getting Memphians weekend picks. So what we do for the weekend is kind of say, if you were to recommend, you know, the don't miss spot for the weekend, what would you do? And to date, we've really done that solely through Twitter. So so we got a lot of feedback about what to do.
So on Twitter with this, on Friday, you do this, hey, what's everybody doing for the weekend kind of thing. Is this right. Something you start like Friday morning, about lunchtime? How do you
work? We try to start it on Thursday because to the very legitimate point you brought up that, you know, most people are following hundreds of people and they're probably going to miss our tweet.
Right.
We have to do it 3 or 4 times really to make sure people respond. And I guess, I know I'm not really supposed to give away my secrets, but I have been known to go out and direct message people who I know are very active in the community and say, like, would you please?
Yeah.
But of course that's a chance because we copy and paste the whole thing, which also includes their Twitter handle. So, I mean, they are totally being credited as, you know, speaking up and what it is that they're promoting. And
okay. So we won't share that secret beyond everybody that's listening won't share it either. So it's sound.
I won't share anymore. But you know, I think that there's nothing wrong with that, and that doing that will eventually lead to you not having to do it anymore.
Right.
Because you know what's going to happen is that those people that tweet that, everyone that they follow is going to see it, and then those people are going to start looking or following the Disconnect or looking for those posts on the weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about getting it started somewhere. You know, it's got to start somewhere, and it'll grow.
And that's an excellent point. I mean, we do have to get it started. We do have to make people feel comfortable about getting out there and actually, you know, recognizing in that way. So, yeah, it's been fun.
What other secrets you got?
I'm not even going to share anymore, especially since my brain, you know, what I just said in response to the other Elizabeth, my brain totally lapsed on it. So
okay, all right. So I got a question for you. Yes, a lot of people would be wondering, it's like, well, wow, why did you choose Twitter over Facebook? And so is there a reason behind that, or is it just time restrictions, or what can you share on that?
Well, that's a really good point, and that's not to say that we won't go to Facebook at some point. Part of it is honestly practicality, because on a relatively limited staff, especially communications and marketing staff in the Academy of me, you know, there's regular Academy marketing and communications to work on, and then there's also Members Connect. And so trying to look for the ways that I can leverage anywhere I can, like the Leadership Academy and Memphis Connect actually have 2 different Twitter profiles because we have slightly different missions, slightly different audiences.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it has been, what can we do via social media to get the word out quickly, simply, to a whole lot of people? And Twitter just seemed the more logical. You know, we can kind of commit to that a little more easily. We may end up doing something on Facebook. Now, what I did do was not too long ago, and I installed Facebook Connect. So I do want to encourage people, if they're going to comment out on Memphis Connect, to sign into their profile. I mean, I have seen, it's happened relatively a few times, but I can tell through the analytics and statistics that those that are, you know, going into a news feed on Facebook get a lot more visibility. So we are trying to take advantage of Facebook in that way.
So yeah, you're definitely saying Facebook Connect has proved to be fruitful for your mission.
It has. And I mean, I guess that's part of it as well. We could have a Facebook page that, I mean, maybe we would just have the blog posts feed there, but I kind of feel as though anything other than the site proper needs to have some sort of supplemental unique information. And the idea of creating another web page of sorts that is going to have Memphis Connect post plus additional unique Facebook content, it's just not something I want to deal with right now. So,
well, you know, looking at the upcoming events, you know, you're a star player here coming along. We've got, you know,
I'm so excited.
You're going to be a guest speaker at the Expedition Breakfast on November the 4th.
1 week from today.
It is 1 week from today, so that's next Wednesday. From 7:30 to 9:30 over at the University of Memphis Holiday Inn, talking more about what's going on with Memphis Connect. And kind of announcing here this afternoon, you guys are a gold sponsor for Bar Camp Memphis. And with that, what you're doing there is you're bringing in some like-minded people from out of town, from Birmingham and Nashville. Is that right?
Yes, actually, Christy and Morgan from Nashvilleist. And Andre from the terminal, BM Terminal in Birmingham. And these are sites that actually we used as models, in a sense, when creating Memphis Connect. So it's very exciting to be able to then reach out to them and have them come and be a part of our camp with us and be kind of considered all, you know, all on the same team.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely excellent. And then with just, okay, so Andre's site, is that, what's the URL for his, in case we wanted to go check it out?
BehamTerminal.com.
BehamTerminal.com and?
Nashvilleest.
All right.
And in fact, Nashville has just won. I think it's kind of similar to the Flyers Best of Memphis. They actually just won the most popular blog in Memphis. I'm sorry, in Nashville. So
okay.
Maybe that was wishful thinking.
great.
Yeah, so this is actually really great timing to, mm-hmm. to have them come in. And what I also think is exciting is, you know, we've talked a lot about Memphis Connect, and just in general, you guys are really promoting Memphis. And just kind of sharing that love a little beyond that, that it's a whole Mid-South sort of recognition. I mean, mm-hmm. why not? I mean, yeah. why shouldn't I help to recognize what's cool about Birmingham or Nashville or anywhere else?
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. I mean, we were on the road, not in the same set of wheels, but went to Social South down in Birmingham. And so you're actually collaborating with these folks who are your mm-hmm. contemporaries in these other cities. And so I'm sure you're comparing notes and brainstorming.
I'm excited.
And best, you know. So they're going to be part of a panel at Bar Camp, which is actually, the Bar Camp is on November the 14th. It's a Saturday, about 2.5 weeks away. And in addition to being on this community blogging type of a panel, Memphis Connect is the sponsor of the Blog House at Bar Camp. And so tell us a little bit more about the Blog House. What is that?
Well, now the Blog House is all your creation. we know that this is the place where folks are really going together sort of collectively to share on social media what's going on at this conference about social media, among other things, Web 2.0. And we just feel that it's a logical fit. I mean, this is other voices throughout the community who are sharing some of what they're learning and who they're meeting and networking with, and so it makes sense, in our opinion. To sponsor this, but what we will do to make things a little bit more special than just, you know, bringing flip charts and candy, we want to help through the site itself to really document what's going on at BarCamp, to provide a kind of centralized location for dialogue. So, for example, we are going to reach out and find someone, hopefully via a contest, to be the sort of voice of Memphis Connect throughout the day, their thoughts ahead of time, checking in a couple of times throughout the day, encouraging people to post comments on there, and especially to post comments to their own work where they're blogging somewhere else. So not only do we want to help drive some traffic to us, but then we want to then show people, look at the Buck Daddy blog, or, you know, look what's going on out there. So
exactly. Big shouts to Buck Daddy. Buck Rogers, who today piped up with a door prize and a swag sponsorship.
If I can say one thing about him, since I did bring it up, he and I met for the first time formally face-to-face when we were on the panel together at Social Camp,
yeah.
which was also very fun. And now he's one of our newest contributors. He wants to start working on like a family base, why it's mm-hmm. actually a wonderful thing to raise your kids in Memphis. So that was a beautiful relationship that came out of Social Camp.
You know, getting into all this stuff, you can feel like such a matchmaker. It is great. And Buck, he's a daddy blogger.
We're going to get Elizabeth involved, too.
You know,
yeah.
Yes. She was. She was the moderator.
Right, but I'm saying with the site.
Yes.
We have to get her involved.
Yes, yes. On that right there, on the Blog House, the other thing that I think is key that we want to highlight with that is the fact that if you are interested in getting into blogging, it's a great stop for you while you're at Bar Camp Memphis, is to go by the Blog House. And so hopefully throughout the day, there are people in there to kind of guide you along. I think Bob Hazlett last time made some posters and stuff about blogging. So if you're just wanting to get into it, it's a good stop for you there also. People there to help you out, steer you in the right direction over at the Blog House. Sponsored by Memphis Connect.
Memphis Connect. And actually, I think that's a really good point. That's one of the things that really amazes me about the Bar Camps and Social Camps, is that, I mean, you really can meet the best of the best, and they're going to, you know, you're getting tips and best practices and stuff from the top folks out there. So I think that's very cool.
That right there, you know, there are some people that go to these bar camps and they don't mess with the sessions at all. They just hang out and talk to people, meet new people, yeah. and swap business cards.
Bring some cards along.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, in good form to bring your business cards to bar camp. It's absolutely about networking. You know, probably half of the day, you know, the half of the value you get from the sessions that you attend, the other half of the value is growing your network and making new connections and really awesome people that are in this space. So after talking with some people after social camp, they had no idea there were this many like really cool technical people here in Memphis. So that's another benefit that you can get out of these particular conferences. So with that, we're going to be wrapping it up.
Can I add one more thing?
Absolutely.
Back to at the very beginning of this podcast about Mayor Wharton and announcing his transition team mm-hmm. through Facebook, I would also like to give Mayor Wharton and his administration a shout out. Memphis Connect was on a very short list of press folks who were invited to be part of election night coverage at Minglewood Hall. And in fact, we sent as our representative Eric Matthews, who had himself been very supportive of Wharton's campaign. So there was, I think he had about 10 or 15 minutes that it was really just him and someone from the commercial appeal. So we love the fact that the administration really recognizes alternative media, the media of the people, mm-hmm. as a valuable way to get the word out. And we really hope that that's just the first of many opportunities that we and other websites and blogs have to really get involved in what's going on in the city.
Well, congratulations there. You know, I mean, that's where, you know, somebody's building a list of Memphis media, and Memphis Connect is right there in the list with your traditional media outlets. So that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Nice accomplishment there. Good job.
Thank you. Yay for us.
All right. So with that, we're missing anything else here? I think we've said it all.
I think we're wrapping it up.
I think we've got it covered.
If you're just tuning in now, make sure that you tune in, join us on Friday for the Core Conversations live podcast version of this thing. Maybe we can find out what's going on this weekend as far as some of that kind of stuff.
So
visit the website, socialexpedition.com, and you'll follow the links there to our live podcast from 11:30 to 12:30 Central Time, the Core Conversations, where we talk more about what's happening with social and what's going on in Memphis with along those lines. So hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks so much, Elizabeth, for joining us. Look forward to seeing
you
again.
I'm excited that you invited me.
A week, you know, and then out there at bar camp. It's going to be big times.
Stop by the blockhouse.
All righty. Bye-bye.
The Social Expedition Podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. Your hosts are Dave Barger, Elizabeth Kaywine, and Matthew Crawford Trissler, who edits the podcast. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.